Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to another episode of the PRF Table. I'm your host, or one of your hosts, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and also sitting here at the table right across from me, Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. Mama, hello, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well and just excited to be here one more time with my PRF family and give you a shout out. Amen.
That's right. We have listeners, because if it wasn't for them, there would be no us. We can speak to our, but this is really about what can we do for God's people. And so if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you realize that we have been dealing with this whole topic of financial healing as a spiritual gift. And all I'm going to do is encourage everybody just to go to our website, prfministry.org, prfministry.org. And just go to our calendar, and you'll be able to see every time we have a show, we put the link and all the contact information for every one of our shows on our Facebook page, as well as on our calendar on our website. Our Facebook page is PRF Teaching Ministry, or facebook.com/PRF. And then if you don't want to go to either one of those, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, and you can see all of our shows that we've been having over the last, almost 4 years now. So God has been good in giving us this vehicle to be able to minister to his people in this particular way. So I'm excited, Mama. I'm excited because there's a lot going on. Those who have not been with us, I'm only going to give you a teaser, and then we're going to keep on moving. We have been dealing with financial healing, and one of the premises that we have been talking about, what God has given me, I got to go with what God gives me. And he's given me that his people, that means y'all folk listening, and y'all folk when you're listening, he's been telling me this. Look, I put healing out there as something to help y'all, but you got to receive it. And so as we've been dealing with this, I mean, we started off the year dealing with financial healing, and we dealt with financial healing as well as physical healing and things that people can do to help strengthen their bodies and all of that. So we can't get away from it until God releases us to move away from it. So I think we got maybe two or three more episodes in this month that we're going to deal with financial healing. But this whole thing about financial healing as a spiritual gift, I realize that to some of you, it is difficult to grab a hold to, because it's not something that has regularly been taught throughout many of our churches. When God gave it to me, I was like, God, you want me to talk about this? He was like, yeah, say what I need to say. I'm like, God, but you know how folk are. He's like, yeah, I know, I built them, so say what I need to say and shut up. So I was like, okay, God, we're going to talk about financial healing, that spiritual gift.
Don't kick the prick.
You listen to me real with it, Mama. And so here's what I recall from what we've talked about so far this month. And again, I'm only going to give you a little teaser. I want you to go back and listen to the whole show so that God can speak to you through what has been said previously, so that you can be on the same sheet of music with all the rest of the listeners that's out there. We know that when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start there. I'm going to teach it a little bit different than we taught it earlier on 92.1 FM in Columbus earlier today. At 4 p.m., just to throw that in there, because we are on two stations now. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells them clearly. He tells the church in Corinth, he says, look, my brothers and my sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities that God gives us, or that the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. And I have to start there every time we talk about this, Mama, because I'm feeling the same thing now with God. He doesn't want you to misunderstand this whole thing about healing. and any other spiritual gifts. And then Paul goes on to say that in verse 4, there are so many different kind of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And so where we've been at when we talked about listening to what Paul has actually said, different kind of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So what we've been dealing with so much in the previous shows, Mama, is that we have to come to a point in our lives that we grab a hold to and really say, okay, God, I know that all of the gifts that you have out here for us are for us, and you are the source of them all. So no matter how many people I can go to that can help us, I know that you're still the source of it all. God is really, really clear in his intentions. His intentions is that we never get beside ourselves and thinking that man has done something for us and never give God the glory. See, the reality is whenever we deal with looking at the scriptures always, always reveal itself where Jesus himself never said, yeah, I did that. My name is Jesus. Jesus always is pointing people to the Father. So that's what we have to do, especially when we're dealing with something new or something that you may not ever been taught before, is we have to go and say, all right, you got to realize that everything that we're talking about is because, and everything that you have that's going to be available to you is because God the Father in heaven is the one who sent it. See, we can't get it twisted, right? Because Jesus said this in John, I believe, 15. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I'm mistaken on the scripture, please let me know, but I'm in my zone. I go to prepare a place for you, right? He said this before leaving. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, but don't worry about it. Don't be all upset. Look, I'm going to send something. That something that he was going to send was the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you a comforter, right? And so I'm going to send you a comforter that's going to guide you all things, that's going to guide you in all truth, that's going to lead you, that's going to be before you if you put me first. All that is in there with this Holy Spirit. And so then we get to where Paul is talking about these gifts, and I'm like, hold on. We must be missing something. And I ain't bad-mouthing anybody, but I think a lot of us have just missed it. What does Paul say? A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. Now, you got to understand that the distinction between verse 4 and verse 7. Verse 4 is real clear. God is the one who runs these gifts. God is the one who controls these gifts. God is the one who gives all of these gifts. It ain't got nothing to do. The gift came before the people.
Amen. That's good.
Right? When God created the heavens and the earth, in Genesis 1:1, it didn't say, and God created the heavens and the earth and man. And then he created the birds. And then he created the creepy things. And then he created the fish and the sea and the birds. No. He created man after he put other things in place. So take that into consideration as we walk a little bit through 1 Corinthians 12, that he didn't put the ones with the gifts in place first. He put the spiritual gifts in place first. Even going back to what Jesus said, I will send you a comforter that will help you, that will guide you. Right? He didn't say the folk around you, your buddies, I'm going to send you good pastors, I'm going to send you good teachers, and you're going to so happen to have some of these spiritual gifts. They're just going to happen to have the Holy Spirit. We got to put this thing into proper perspective so that people understand, hold on, when you ask this thing about which came first, the chicken or the egg, you ain't going to never figure that one out. But when you say which came first, the Holy Spirit or man, you better say the Holy Spirit. Because if you go to man first, you put man before God, and when you put man before God, you're going to get jacked up every single time.
Amen.
I wish Adia was with us because I know she's out there somewhere. So I think she's on her way. So I think we got it. God is the source of it all. But then he goes to verse 7. The spiritual gift is given to each one of us when I looked at this, it kind of it had me to thinking about two different groups of people. And, you know, I always like to make contrasts because, you know, it's easy. If you make a contrast, then you're either going to be on one side or the other. Sometimes there is no middle ground. There's two different groups. I would say there's, again, financial healing as a spiritual gift. There is one group of people, which are the givers. There's another group of people, which are the receivers. So is God is giving you a spiritual gift, then what is the purpose of your spiritual gift? Verse 7 says it very, very clear. There's no question about it, even no gray area.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual gift is given to each one of us. It doesn't stop there, and there is no period. The rest of that verse says, so that we can help each other. So that we can help one another. That's what's said. That's what's said. So I'm like, okay, so the reason that God gave spiritual gifts, the reason that it's there is so that we can help each other. Okay, then let's say I want to keep on reading. So you keep on going to verse 8, you keep on going. To one person, you get the spirit. God gives, the spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. To another, the same spirit gives a message of special knowledge, a word of knowledge, as the King James says. The same spirit gives great faith to another, spiritual gift of faith. To someone else, the spirit gives the gift of healing. Mama, if you've been counting with me, that's four already. He gives to another person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Lord knows we need that one. Still another person given the ability to speak in unknown languages or unknown tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said, to interpret prophecy. And then he caps it off and says, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Okay, now let's run with this. The shift that I want us to make tonight, and I don't know if it's going to carry us into next week, but I want us to think about something. If the body of Christ, right, if the body of Christ, or let's say if the church, like Church Universal, because the body of Christ is too big for people to grab a concept of, so sometimes you have to break it down. So you can say the church, Church Universal, or maybe churches in your community, or you can even be real with it and say my church, right? I say my church. You say your church, I say my church. If those entities work together more with other spiritual gifts, I really believe that less would need to be healed financially.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If the body of Christ, if the Church Universal, if my church, if your church, if we work together more with the other spiritual gifts, then there would be less people who need to be healed financially. And when I say less, Mama, and please jump in after I say this if you have anything, but when I say less, I'm not talking about the perspective that financial healing would not be needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But less in relation to the enormity of people that need financial healing and are not getting it, the enormity of people that need financial healing and can't see it nowhere in sight. That's what I'm talking about, because the reality is, if people didn't need it, why would there be a need for him to send a gift?
Amen, amen, amen.
So there's a big need. Go ahead. Let me get some water. Go ahead, Mama.
I was just going to say, going back to chapter 7, he says, at how the King James, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So that let us know now that God wants us to profit, and if we as a body of Christ is ignorant in this area of gifts, how can we profit from something that we don't understand or we don't know? And then another gift here when you talked about helping each other is this the gift of wisdom here, which you said that's it's a wise advice. You know, I've had over the years, I've had many people just come and just give me some wisdom, you know, into what I am trying to accomplish, or just some wisdom into understanding that the scripture is not saying what I think it's saying. See, so we that gift of wisdom, I mean, if we don't understand how to apply this word in our lives, then the word come none of void to us. It's never God put it out there. But he gave us gifts too, and he only can use the gifts through people. So everyone, if everybody just had all this, the gift of miracles, then you need more than that to be successful in God's kingdom. And you need more than that to be successful just in your secular life. You know, we need to help each other. And, you know, we didn't get here by ourselves. You know, we had to go to first grade and be taught. And so all of God is saying here, I want to teach you the truth, because it's going to be the truth of these gifts that's going to make you free. Amen. Amen.
That's right. So the gifts, right, the gifts that God has given us, these spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, they're needed. And I really thought about what would happen if for some reason we decided that we were going to just work together so that less people would need financial healing. What would happen? Could that result in less bankruptcies being filed? Could that result in less repossession? See, here's what happens a lot of times. A lot of times people have been fed this bull crap about you ain't supposed to hardly deal with nothing. Like certain things should just be immune to you because you are a believer. And that is a lie from the pit of hell, because if that be the case, then the word of God that says in his life you shall have tribulation is a lie. Well, Lord knows, I know that I've had some tribulations over these last couple of weeks. Lord knows. And a whole bunch of other folks, if you look at Facebook, as you watch the news, have been dealing with a lot of tribulations. Don't know why they're going through them. Don't know if it's the enemy that God has given authority to go ahead and attack you like he did Job. I don't know if it's God trying to see how strong your faith is. Don't know all that. Don't know all that until we get to be in conversation with one another. But all I know is I'm tired of seeing so many of God's people struggling in certain situations that don't have to be, can't see their way out of it, and just not in a good place, whether physically, whether spiritually, whether it's relating to their finances or their possessions or their resources or a combination of all the three. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, Mama.
Yes.
Because I just told you, based upon reading 1 Corinthians 12, all those different gifts. And we got to be real with this. We have to understand that although we see what Paul has written down, penned for us as these spiritual gifts, these various spiritual gifts, we must not be ignorant and think that Paul had a monopoly that he could identify every single spiritual gift out there, because it's not in these short verses out of 1 Corinthians 12. Please don't be ignorant. I'm going to go back and say like Paul, my brothers and sisters, regarding your question about these abilities that the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to misunderstand this and thinking that, oh, because of how I think about these things, that's the only way it is. No, the Spirit has led us to this thing about financial healing as a spiritual gift. And the reality is, when he says this in verse number 9, and to somebody else he gives the gift of healing, if all you're going to do is wrap your little brain around the fact that the healing that Paul talked about is only physical healing, and you're missing it. You need to stop coming up asking for prayer for God to heal you, because you don't even got your mind open for him to do it how he wants to do it. If you cannot believe, my brothers and sisters, that healing is bigger than just physical, you're missing it. And now I would boldly declare to you, what you're doing is limiting God. But yet, out of ignorance, you're still coming to him. He ain't mad that you're coming to him, just like it says in the first book of first chapter of James. He ain't mad for asking. But don't you know that God wants to give it to you? It's a gift. And a father, the Father, our Heavenly Father, he loves giving his children gifts. You think Santa Claus like it? Come on. Santa Claus ain't got nothing on God when it comes to giving out gifts.
Amen.
I mean, not just because he gave the greatest gift, but he continues to give us gifts. He gives us the gift of life every day that we're able to wake up and breathe. He gives us the gift of the mobility of our limbs, even with some of y'all with arthritis.
Amen.
I mean, see, we have to open Romans 12, 1 and 2. We have to open our minds and say, okay, God, I know that this thing is bigger than what I can conceive with my own infinite brain. Show me what else I need to know so that I can get what you're trying to give me.
Amen.
Don't believe that the gift is for you. You will never seek that gift, and you will never open that gift. And when you never open the gift, then it sits in there. It's kind of like the leftovers in the refrigerator. I love leftovers. I ate a slice of pizza that had been in there for 2 days, and I ate some hibachi Japanese takeout that I had last night for dinner. That was what I had for lunch today before I went on the air at 4 o'clock. Nothing wrong with it. But if I was hungry and I just look in that box and look at those three slices of pizza and I'm like, mm-mm. And if I didn't have anything else to eat but those three slices of pizza, what would I look like to be like, no, I can't eat those? Okay, well, the other alternative is you don't get nothing to eat because that's all you had. The reality is it wasn't like it was bad. It was just 2 days old. But if your perception is, oh, no, I can't eat that. Mm-mm. I deserve fresh food. What? What makes you so special? You know, it's folk eating out of trash cans in our country. And you tripping over 2-day-old pizza? Man, please. Hey, get your stuff together. See, that's how I think God probably would have talked to me if I was kind of beside myself. So I want us to think about also, Mama, how when you look at 1 Corinthians 12, Paul really paints a picture for us to see. If I was in a classroom full of kindergartners, right, or pre-Kers, right, and I want you to draw a body on this piece of paper, 9 out of 10 times what they would draw is a circle, you know, that's the head, and then they would have drawn a line coming straight down the middle, and then they probably would have drew another line going across, which would have shown like the arms up, stretched out, and then they'd have put two other little lines coming out that bottom line, which would have been the legs, and then two little other little shorter lines, which would have been the feet. And they may have put two little circles on that line coming across the middle to symbolize the hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I ask that child, what is that? They're going to tell me that's a body. Now, if some little kid was to draw that same picture but only had one line coming across, meaning only one arm was there and only had one leg, you're going to have somebody saying, that's not a body, or they're going to say something that lets you know that they know that that body is incomplete. So what Paul has done was he had to help the Corinthian church, which I think leads us for us to have a foundation of what we're talking about to help out others. When he talks about the human body has many parts, but the many parts of the body make up one whole body. lot of times what happens inside of the church is, you see, if I did this drill in a church and I say draw a body, or I say draw a church, they're going to draw a church that's going to be representative of their church. Same way with the body. They're going to think it's their body. And what they fail to realize a lot of times, because it's not something that's constantly put before a lot of people, is that you are one part of the whole body. And so with these spiritual gifts, God has given these spiritual gifts, and every church does not have every spiritual gift. Can you agree with me on that, Mama?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here's how you can... Not just me either. Lord knows, me either. So when you go to 1 Corinthians 12:7, and it says the spiritual gift he's given to each one of us so that we can help one another, and he's given this to us so we can see what the body is supposed to look like, us as individuals, part of a collective, then you cannot take the same vantage point, or you have to take that same vantage point with the church. My church, Mama, is part of the body of Christ, which means that I should be connected to your church.
Yes.
Your church should be
yes.
connected to
Amen.
Another church. There, something has to give with the way we are connected, because I'm going to say we're really disconnected in a lot of ways.
Amen.
See, not good enough. Let me just say it like this. When Paul's talking to us in 1 Corinthians 12, and he's talking about the body has many different parts, not just one, that's an admonishment. That is an admonishment. Stop thinking you're the only church and everything needs to be inside of your own church. You ain't got but 20 people.
Amen.
So you can't possibly do anything, and you can't possibly have everything that's going to be able to help all 20 of those people be whole. So this thing is about wholeness. This is about completeness. Okay, so if in my church with 20 people, we don't have everything, then the next question is, when I draw that picture of a human body, I might as well just cut off an arm off my picture. I might as well cut off one of the legs off of my picture. I might as well take off an eye off the face of my picture and let that be something that is seen before the people. This is what we look like because we ain't connected. And so if you're not connected, those of you who are part of this body, y'all ain't going to get everything that you need. And if you don't get everything that you need, then you're going to be miserable in some areas. And then you're going to be prime candidates for PRF because you're going to be one of the ones that really need financial healing. But here's what you got to watch out for. You have to watch out for individuals that try to keep everything together. See, if God has given me the gift of healing, and I'm at this church on 14th Street, and God has given you the gift of discernment, and you're at the church on 15th Street. If somebody comes to me and says, Pastor Dunlap, I'm really having a hard time trying to figure this thing out, this situation, whether I'm trying to get a new job, whether to buy this house, buy this car, be in this relationship with this person, purchase this type of business, whatever it is that affects your PRF. And I'm sitting there like, I ain't got it. Okay, what the heck? What you going to do about it? Just because you don't have it doesn't mean it's not out there. Doesn't mean God's response and answer is not out there. But if I don't have any clue that you, Mama, over at the church one block away, has somebody with the gift of discernment, then I will never send them to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I never send them to you, then now what I have done is I have made myself responsible for some of the turmoil and some of the destruction that goes on into your life.
Amen.
And I promise you, as a minister, I don't want that. I don't want that type of blood on my hands because that's serious business. Okay, so what do we do? Does that mean that more pastors should be in communication and in fellowship with other churches in their community? Absolutely.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be the one on 15th Street if I'm on 14th Street. It may be somebody on 17th Street. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't care what street it's on. Because at the end of the day, If you can't get it in the house, then where are you going to get it?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'll tell you where you're going to get it. If people are in need of financial healing and they're in financial straits or they're trying to better themselves, they're trying to come up better than where they are, and they can't get it there at home, then why would they not go outside of that body?
Amen. And may I interject here?
Please, Mama, please.
When I was when I just came to the Lord, and I didn't know anything about salvation because I was brought up Catholic, so I didn't read the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, this was all new to me, and I was interested, but I didn't really know what I was interested. Why I was interested, but I was interested, and so when I would hear that other, as I was studying the Word for myself, and then I would come across certain words, and then I would hear that other churches was teaching on that subject, I would want to go to that church. And I didn't ask my pastor, could I go? Because I just felt that, wow, this has been something that I've been seeking, and I never heard of this word, spiritual warfare. What does that mean? And you're talking about an infant here, so this is all new to me. Never read my Bible, never saw anyone in my family except for one person read the Bible, and that was it. But what did that do? Didn't mean to name to me as a child if nobody else around me is practicing it. So anyway, I decided to go to another church, and they was teaching on spiritual warfare. And I went there, and it was teaching for 2 weeks. They gave us all the information. They gave us the books. We didn't have to pay for anything. I was so excited about that, and I still have that material right today. That's been over 20 years ago. So I'm just here to confirm that God knew that my church was not teaching on spiritual warfare. Here I am, a babe here, and I'm studying and reading. I mean, I'm reading this word, and what does this mean, and what is he talking about in Ephesians, armor of God, and didn't have a clue, but he knew my heart's desire, and he knew I needed to understand that, and I wanted to understand it. So he just threw that out there at me, and I just had a really good time. It wasn't like, okay, I belong here and you belong there. We just fellowship together, and I learned so much. And so I'm just confirming what you were saying, that we do need one another. And although some of my brothers and sisters say, why is that important? I'm just going to listen to what my pastor had to say. I say, well, that's how you feel, and that's okay. But I needed to know. And now that I know, now I can operate better and get more understanding because he says, first you get knowledge. I ain't have any knowledge. So how can I get wisdom? How could I apply this in my life if I didn't know even what the word meant? And that's why he says above all of those two components there, he says get understanding. Hallelujah. And I'm just about getting understanding. I don't care what denomination you are. As long as you're lifting up the name of Jesus and it's something I need to get some understanding on and God bring across my path, I'm going to go for it because God knows what I'm reading and studying, and he knows what I need, and I needed that to help me get to another level. I did not need to be ignorant, like Paul says, of the spiritual things and of my enemy. I need to get some understanding of this enemy this that I don't know about, that I have accounted all my life and didn't even understand what was happening. So I'm telling you, I'm with you on that, brother. Hallelujah. Because it's blessed me.
Yeah.
And it's still blessing me. Amen. It's still blessing me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not, we're not to just have to be a closed mind, because Jesus was open to all of us. And he knows our needs. And he knows, like he said, these are my gifts. Hallelujah. These are my gifts. And I'm going to send this person with this gift to help you. And I tell you, it's just when I have to say me, when I'm open to that, I just flow, because I know with nobody else telling me, they weren't interested. And now here comes this person with the knowledge, and then I can come back and take it to God and say, God, now help me understand this. And I'm telling you, it's learning. It's always being a student of this word. Hallelujah. Amen. Didn't mean to preach.
Do what you got to do. This whole thing is discipleship. So Let's do this. I want to just take a little short break and just let everybody just take a break and marinate on what we've said so far. So if you're listening online and you want to jump into the conversation, you can call us at 347-215-7934, 347-215-7934. You're listening to the PRF Table. We'll be right back. Listening to the PRF Table, and this is Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Marianne Williams, also known as Mama. Mama, I just thought it was just necessary. Just sometimes, you know, you just got to sit back and get into a place of work so that God can continue to speak, because God is continuing to speak to his people. And that what really, really matters is how many of us are really, really listening. So I'm thankful for all those who are listening. I mean, Thursdays are a very big day, very big deal for the PRF Table, for the PRF ministry, because between this show and the other show, Living Life More Abundantly, that we have at 4 p.m. on 92.1 FM in Columbus, we're talking about 7,000 people that's listening to us. And so we really hope that people are not just focusing on us, but are really focusing on God. And so let's get back into the show. So we're in agreement, Mama, that, you know, the bodies are important. We have to do this thing together. And Paul did not have a monopoly on every single spiritual gift out there in the respect to be able to name every single one out there. And we as believers, we have no right to be able to say that with God's spiritual gift that he gives us, that they have to look like we want them to look. That there's nothing else to based upon how we only perceive it. And again, that's why we're talking about financial healing as a spiritual gift, because I just truly believe that God has just shown me something not new. I'm sure there's others that have been, this has been revealed to as well, that healing goes way beyond just physical. Financial, if people are dealing and having financial straits, well, what is the cure for that? What is the resolve for that? What is needs to be transformed? Well, healing needs to occur. And we know from talking about healing to we've been blue in the face that healing is not just external, but it's also internal. We see from when we talked about Naaman, you know, Naaman thought and was looking for the physical healing, but God had a different plan. He was dealing with the internal as well as the external. And that's what came about. That's what really, really blessed me from reading that and blessed us from being able to share that with folks. So let's go back to this 1 Corinthians 12. I was reading something else. He talked about the human body, and he goes on talking about in verse 18, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange would it be if it only had one part? So every church may need to just come to grips, if you're in this place where I'm about to go, that it's not just about you. And one of the worst things that can happen is that God has given these spiritual gifts to us as individuals, and they not get utilized. See, there's some space that needs to be opened up in many churches throughout my community, maybe in my church as well, your church. It has to be a space that gets opened up so that people have the freedom to exercise their gifts accordingly. Now, notice what I said, accordingly. I ain't say nothing about out of order. A guy called me, he gave me the gift of preaching. Well, you know, two people can't preach at the same time. Not at your church. Some churches, they do that. At your church, you know, they can't do it. So you go up there at the same time, but your pastor up there, then you may got to, you know, security.
Amen.
You don't want that. Be according to how God is allowing those gifts to be exercised. He's going to give you some free will to be able to exercise it, and you have to make sure that it is being operated by the right spirit and not by our flesh. And so when I think about how we're supposed to be one body and all the different gifts, I'll make this challenge. I did this at the end of the last show, but I'll do it now because it's just where I'm feeling it. If somebody comes to me as Pastor Dunlap and say, Pastor, I need to be healed of this particular situation, and I know whether God has given me that gift or not. I'm saying I do. You know, some folk may not, but I do. I know if he's giving me that gift or not. And if I can't help them, then how does that affect the people? I kind of mentioned that before. Here's what I want to plug in for everybody to get. What are you going to do when you ask for help and you need one of the spiritual gifts that God has already given? See, these gifts are waiting on us. These gifts aren't being needed for us. They already there. They was there back in John when Jesus said it, and when he said, when I go, when he went, they were there. What has to happen, Mama, is they have to take up, as the late, great Deacon Alfonso Johnson used to say, it has to take up residence in you. And so the question becomes, who is it taking up residence in? See, I've learned something over the last couple of years being in this position with this ministry. You have people that can serve, and other ministries that I've served in too. You have people that can serve and do things, but wouldn't it be best if we had people operating in their gift? How the heck do you have an administrative team just with folks that just know how to do good secretarial work? That's foolish. Because I can never expect them to operate with the spirit of excellence and operate with the gift if they don't have it. And so some things that should be working a certain way, they may not even get.
Yes.
There's a difference in just being good at something and having the gift of something. Excellent. If I had a music, I take it like this. Next week we'll be speaking at a prophetic prayer encounter in Tucker, Georgia. It would be foolish if nobody there had the gift of prophecy. But yet you call it a prophetic prayer encounter. But if nobody there, which that's not true, but if nobody there had the gift of prophecy, it's like, what are you doing? It'd be crazy to call ourselves the PRF teaching ministry and none of us got the gift of teaching. Or better yet, it would be foolish for me to try to get everybody who's connected that I know and are good people or may have some money or whatever and want them to be teachers of the PRF. Because, see, when things come up, that's when we need folk to operate. When things come up, it's the time when things need to be executed. So this whole thing about can we learn what our spiritual gifts are? And as leaders, other leaders, can you really put some effort into helping people to develop their spiritual gifts? Because if you don't develop it, somebody else will. And that doesn't mean that that's the right person. Doesn't mean that they're the right person. Somebody will help. Somebody will utilize a person, right? You got to be careful. People will utilize a person for what you can do for them, but it doesn't mean that they're your spirit, that's your spiritual gift, but they can have you believing this is what you're supposed to be doing for the body of Christ.
I want
our churches. I look at it like this, Mom. Let me say it this way. I should be able to go into my church, and I should be able to go to pastor and be like, Pastor, who has the gift of discernment? I got something I'm thinking about doing. God's not revealing it to me, or I just can't hear him. I just can't discern it, right? Because he hasn't given everybody the same gifts, right? So nobody needs to feel if you ain't got the gift of discernment. Because if you take that mindset, that means everybody should have everything. If you think that you got to have discernment as a spiritual gift, then anybody else can have that same thought process about the other gifts, which maybe that's part of the problem. Too many folks think they got too many things, too many gifts, and probably don't even have hardly one or two that's been identified truly by God. I digress. I should be able to go to my church and say, Pastor, who has the gift of discernment here? Pastor, who has the gift of leadership there? Oh, can I stop there for a moment? Just because you're in a leadership position does not mean that you have the gift of leadership. I know Adia will high-five me on that one.
Amen.
Being in a leadership position and not have the gift of leadership. But I'd rather have Adia, she has the gift of leadership. I know that she has the gift of leadership. Perfect person to be on the PRF team. Because I can't make all the decisions, and I'm not going to make all the right decisions. So there needs to be other folks around us to be able to help us where we fall short. No, Nate, you need to handle this way. Nate, you need to handle it this way. Sometimes the gift of leadership will have you getting in somebody's butt that don't want to listen. Amen. All right. So I want people to just continue to think about what we talk about, financial healing as a spiritual gift. We're not limiting God. That's the whole point of what I'm talking about. We should know. And if I'm coming up to my pastor or you come up to me and you say, Doc, if I can't guide you to where you should be, that's bad. That's bad. So I want to impress upon the pastors and the other leaders, the other ministers, my colleagues, those who labor in this helping God's people along with me in various different areas. Find out what the gifts of the people are. Help the people to understand what their gifts are. Sometimes all you got to do is ask God, God, what is my spiritual gift? You may be surprised that you may find out that there's somebody in your congregation, in your ministry that has the gift of healing. You may find out that there's somebody in your congregation, somebody within your ministry that has a gift of financial healing. Then if you identify that, not create anybody, not make somebody in there, but if that gets identified, then now you are in a better position for that person to operate within that gift and to help each other as the gift is intended. Now I'm going to really mess you up, Mama. Not you, because now we're really going to mess something up. Here's what you cannot do as a leader, and let me just be real clear and straight up with it. When people are identified within your ministry, within the ministry that hopefully God has called you to, or God has told you to birth, or given you the ability to be the founder of whatever. Once you are able to identify those spiritual gifts within the place, then you can't put them in a fence that is surrounding only your church, your ministry, your organization, where they cannot exit outside with free will. Nowhere does it say that the spiritual gifts are only for the house in which somebody becomes a member. Not going to find them. So that means, now think about what I said earlier. So that means you come up to me, Pastor Dunlap, I'm trying to make this decision. I don't have the gift of discernment. Yes, I'm the pastor, but I don't have the gift of discernment. Okay, it's okay. I, at that point, should be connected enough to another body where I can say, around the corner, if you go to such and such a church, see Pastor such and such, or see Sister such and such, or see Brother such and such, tell them what's going on. Because that person I'm sending you to maybe should be that person that has that gift. If it's identified. See, if we all identified the gifts, then there would never be a question of who's there to help. But you can't contain it. And a lot of people feel constricted about doing things in the house of God. And when they're constricted doing things in the house of God, then it becomes constricted to the kingdom of God. And if you are restricting any type of gift that God has given you, that is not a good thing. If you allow somebody to constrict that doggone gift that's inside of you that God has given you to help one another, if you allow it, you can't blame it on that other person. You got to look at yourself. So this thing is twofold. Don't let nobody, good English, make you hold on your gift and that it can only be used in their place for their purposes. No. That's a spirit too. That's a spirit of manipulation, if you want to call it what it is. And I'm telling you, God is not going to be pleased with that. So remember how I said earlier, Mama, how
yes.
The gifts were here before the vessels. So what Paul does is he talks to us and he says, look, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. That's verse 25. See, if folks ain't being cared for, then that shows me that there's not harmony. There can't be harmony if so many people are dealing with some of the things, a lot of the things that they're dealing with, and then we say we're caring for each other. No, a visit every now and then to an elderly person is not really truly caring for one another. That's not it. It's bigger than that. Because you only get around once a month on your rotation. You only get around every 2 weeks on your rotation. What the heck they going through them other 2 weeks? I mean, really? We have to do it in a different way so that the maximum benefit for God's people is there. I love how after Paul just lays it out plain, he tells them, look, all of y'all are part of Christ's body. And each one of you are a part of it. So we have to start asking ourselves the question, which body are we a part of? Are we a part of a body that only has one arm and one leg? Are we a part of a body that has one arm and one leg, but we know where the other leg is and we know where the other arm is? Because it's been identified. And because together with what I don't have over here and what you do have over there, then it all becomes one.
That's good. Amen.
I love churches that focus on specific things instead of trying to do everything. That's probably another cause for why there's so much financial healing that's needed, because too many people's minds are scatterbrained in all these different type of things. You got 12 members, you can't have 18 ministries, point blank. You got 100 members. got 100 members. It don't matter. You can have 100 members. Okay, you got 12 ministries. I got you. But how many of those 100 members are faithful members, quote unquote, that are participating? How many are coming to service? How many are participating in the thing? So you can't have all these different things out there and force people to participate in what they're going to participate in because you're wearing them out thin. Go back and look at Exodus 8. There's a way to do it. So this whole thing about financial healing, mama, as a spiritual gift, is out there. It's ready for us. And I love the fact that not only did God say through Paul about the gifts themselves, he was so good to be able to say, hold on that, but hold on. Here are some of the parts of the of God's church that has been appointed by God for you. Apostles, prophets, teachers, those who do miracles, so those who have the gift of healing, those who help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. He goes on to communicate that. So now that's those individuals that should be operating with the gift inside of them. So you got the individual spiritual gifts, and then you also have the people gifts. So we have everything that we need. So financial healing, we shouldn't need it as much, but people are not operating where they need to operate. They're not positioned where they need to be positioned. I know a pastor that had a physical situation. And he went all, it seemed like he went all, he'll tell the story himself. He basically went all over the world, for a country, I'll say, trying to find a cure, trying to find something. Found somebody all the way up in Alaska, down here from Alabama, in Alabama. Found somebody all the way up in Alaska. And God moved through that individual. That healing came through that individual. So you know what should happen at that point. Anytime somebody has a situation like that, Pastor, it shouldn't be anything less than, I need you to go see that cat up in Alaska. Because if you mess around and you try to do it yourself, and God hasn't given you that gift, you're going to mess some folk up.
Amen.
I'm just going to encourage you. We're about to sign off for tonight, but go look at John chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. Go look at John chapter 9, verses 1 through 33. Go look at Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 50, like we've been talking about over a couple weeks ago. Go look at that. Go look and see how Jesus did things when it came to healing. And then I'm going to just implore you, ask God to reveal to you how you can utilize some of the foundation of what Christ actually did when he was physically on earth and apply it to your life so that you can get the financial healing that God has for you by accepting it as a gift from him.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Mama, closing comments, I'm done.
I have nothing to say. It's been said.
Well, listen, everybody, we thank you all for just taking your time to be with us. Come and join us again next Thursday and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to listen to the PRF Table with myself, Mama, Adia Sanders, Tara Sherwood, Brother Feaster. There's five of us that host this show, and you never know what you're going to get when you tune in. But what we can assure you that you are going to get is that we're going to give you everything we can, regardless of which five of us, one of us out of the five, or a combination thereof is sitting here at the table. Again, go to our Facebook page. PRF Teaching Ministry is where we're at on Facebook. And also go to our website. That is where you can connect to everything that we're doing. PRFministry.org, PRFministry.org. If you're listening online and you're listening to this show as an archive, we can just invite you to listen live by calling into area code 347-215-7934. And jump into the conversation. We'll be monitoring the Facebook page during the show. If you have any questions or comments for those who are strictly listening online, we thank God for all of you. And take a look at the calendar. If you're anywhere close by any of these locations that we'll be conducting our PRF learning sessions, that'll be coming up starting back up in July. And we'll be going hard and heavy. We want you to be a part of it. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.